Hello, Saints. Bethel's new website enables you to receive pastors' e-devotionals via email. Simply go to betheldeliverance.org and click on the link About Us. Then, subscribe to weekly devotionals from Bishop, and you'll be all set to receive the encouraging word of God from Bishop's e-devotionals. So be blessed and sign up today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
What's interesting here in these three, when you get to the word evidence, that word elenkos, it's there's a secondary meaning that's a little more realistic to us, because evidence is kind of prosecutorial. You know, it's like, this is the evidence. You committed this crime. This is the evidence. Evidence isn't normally used to convict. I mean, to remove guilt. It's used to convict. You did this. Here's the evidence. So then it's the job of the defense attorney to cast doubt on the evidence. So when you hear evidence, your mind becomes prosecutorial. It becomes, you know, oh, well, this is the evidence. No, the word in our vernacular, it means conviction. In other words, when I believe God, I am under conviction that this is going to happen. That this thing is going to happen. But here's the caveat. Here's the thing you have to look for. You have to be careful what you believe God to do. Many of you have believed God to heal a loved one, and he has taken them. And then some well-meaning saint will say, well, you know, it don't always happen when you ask and believe. That's not what the Bible says. Let me show you what the Bible says. I know we're in James, but I have this liberty. Go to Mark Gospel for a moment. Notice this. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus starts out, have faith in God. And then he says, as you go on, we're going to work through this in a week or so. But then he goes on and says, down at the bottom, he says, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That passage right there leaves no room for interpretation. Listen to me very clear. If you say something and it doesn't come to pass, you didn't believe it. Because if you say it and it doesn't come to pass, then Jesus is lying. And since we know that he can't lie, then apparently the fault is in our flesh. If you say something and it doesn't come to pass, you did not believe it. And I know we're sitting here going, Pastor Lambert, listen, I believed. No, you didn't. You couldn't have. Because the Bible says, if you say it, he says, and if you believe that the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. There is absolutely nothing to justify failure. Nothing. Now, I know this is shattering some people, but we need to do this, because we blame God when we really have not believed. Look at the next verse. He says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You say, well, I believed for that job and it didn't come. Then you didn't believe. You couldn't have, because the word can't lie. Now, I know, you know, the more studious ones are saying, well, look, there's got to be a reason, you know, because I know I believe God. We would rather blame God and the devil than say, I really didn't believe because I don't understand what believing means. If you go to Mark chapter 5, I'm going to show you something. You remember the passage we just read in Mark 11? Mark 11 said, you will have what you... Mark 11 said, you will have what you... Romans 10 says, faith comes by and hearing by the... All right, so now, if I hear the word of God, what does it build? Faith. And Jesus says in Mark 11, I will have what I... And if I say it and it'll come to pass. All right, now watch this. In Mark chapter 5, it says, verse 24, and Jesus went with Jairus, and many people followed him and crowded him. And a certain woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all she had and didn't get any better, but rather she grew worse. All right, what's Romans 10, 17? Faith comes by. All right, now look at this. When she, had heard. Why is past tense necessary? Because the context of Romans 10 is that there is a consistent exposure to the word of God. She had heard of Jesus. And usually when you hear had heard, it's what we, in English grammar, make perfect past tense. That means that I heard it to the point of something happening. I'm convinced. It's not the slang like we use, what had happened was. That's just bad syntax. But when it says she had heard, what did it do? It said it caused her, verse 28. What's the verb? No, the first verb, said, past tense of say. She said after she had faith was built when she had heard. It was released when she said. Now watch. She could not say until she had, and when she had, she believed, and the belief caused her to, good God Almighty, and the result of her was verse 34. What's missing in this passage? Jesus didn't pray for her. He did not stretch his hand forth, but her faith drove her to say and do, because faith without is good God from Georgia. Well, let me show you the action of the devil just so you'll be clear with it. It says in verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd. Right? And she said in verse 28, if I can touch him. Look what the enemy does. He knows she's heard. He knows she's about to move. What does he do? He puts a crowd between her and Jesus. Listen carefully. This is going to bless you. He only puts obstacles between people who are moving towards Jesus. If you don't have an obstacle, you aren't moving towards Jesus and you're no threat. You don't understand that the satanic desire is to keep you from joining Hebrews 11. He doesn't want you to be a witness. So he forces you to accept your current circumstance rather than say what your new destiny is. This thing isn't going to keep me down. Brothers and sisters, hear me. You are designed to beat the odds. And God says, you don't ask. And you don't ask because you don't believe. You accept what the doctor tells you. when you ought to take your body back to the manufacturer. Hear me when I tell you, God has spare parts. The medical community says there's no cure for diabetes, but the Holy Ghost didn't hear that. So you believe there's no cure. So you just ask God to keep your A1C under 5 while you take your metformin and your glipizide and your Januvia and your insulin. And if you have to take it, I understand. But the Christian doesn't rely on it. The Christian says, God, I'm taking this for this season because I'm speaking to my pancreas and I'm telling them to regenerate. I'm speaking to my liver and I'm telling it to regenerate. I'm telling my kidneys to act right because the Bible says I will have what I say. I told, I don't know if it was you or 1130, I said I had tore up my knees running, just ripped the meniscus in both my knees till the meniscus was just flapping inside of my knee. They did the MRI and it was flapping around from the tear from the running on the treadmill. And both of them were bad, swelling up and getting shots and all the other fleshly things. And I just put my hands on them and I said, Father, you got to heal them. I said, I'm not getting them replaced. I told the church, I don't know if it was you at 1130, I said, God snuck up on me and healed my right knee. I have no more pain. It doesn't swell up. Nothing happens to it. It doesn't buckle under me anymore. It's as strong as can be. I get on the bike and do my 10 miles. I swim and flip my legs around, and nothing happens. I said, Lord, you did one. Why didn't you do them both? He said, I want you to keep trusting me, because if I had done them both, you wouldn't have recognized. But now, because you're praising me for that one, that's building up the witness for the other one. I refuse to listen to those who tell me negative. I think my God is still able. I think my God is still able.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2417A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at betheldeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Join us for Good Friday and Resurrection Day services as we commemorate the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good Friday service begins Friday, April 14th at 1 o'clock p.m. Resurrection Day services are Sunday, April 16th at 6 o'clock a.m. and 10 o'clock a.m. So come and worship the Lord with us, for Jesus has risen.